It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national, Twin City, Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. On today's show, our sacred animal section of the show, Wendy Pilot will be talking about our well-being of our sacred animals, but she'll also be talking about people that talk to their pets are actually smarter than those who don't. We'll be updating with our guest, Andy Pearson of MN350, and he'll be speaking about what happened this past week at the Public Utilities Commission in downtown St. Paul and what's next for us in the water protectors. We'll be ending the show up with our very popular segment, What Does My Elder Think? We will ask my elder, Curtis, his spin on local, national, and Ho-Chunk news. Also, you guys can call in today at 952-946-6205.
This portion of the show is brought to you by...
We are pre-America. The descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. For each show, we discuss on Native Roots Radio what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, native lands, and how their natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our native and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives who suffer with the alcohol and drug problem. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. We pray for our relatives that have gone through the Indian residential schools. Many have passed the trauma down. Kill the Indian, save the man. To our missing and murdered Native women, you are not forgotten. My blood is as ancient as the earth I stood upon. I pre-exist America. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Neighborhood Cafe, good food and good friends. Also by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name and welcome, Wendy.
Hi, my name is Hanaji Hihani, and originally I was going to be talking about the 13 unlucky animals that are killed for fun, but Robert asked me to keep it light today, so I'm switching gears here. I'm going to be talking about an article written by Akpisha Nisari, and it's dated June 19, 2018, and the name of the article is People Who Talk to Their Pets Are Actually Smarter Than Those Who Don't. You know, pet owners around the globe, if not all, then most of them, have daily conversations with their pets just how they talk to normal human beings. People wish their pets good morning, ask them if they are hungry, and if they want to go for a walk, almost as if their pets are understanding them and will talk back any second. I know I do. Just yesterday, I was talking to Emma, Wanda, and Gracie about how it was too hot to go for a walk, but it was okay if we just hang out on the deck and chill out, and they agreed. Do you talk to your pets like you talk to your friends, be it a dog, cat, parrot, or guinea pig? If so, we're sure you've heard things like, "You're nuts. You've gone cuckoo." And when people see you talk to your animals, that's what they think. I told our pets about this article, and I actually read it out loud to them, and I think they liked it. But what if we tell you that your habit of talking to your pets, plants, or any inanimate object for that matter, is a sign of intelligence rather than stupidity? You're not just a crazy cat lady. You're just smart.
Wendy, does talking to your pet have a fancy name?
It does. The actual act is called anthropomorphizing, which is the attribution of human traits, emotions, or intentions to non-human entities.
You know, Wendy, is there any hard evidence? Tell me some hard evidence, please,
okay.
Because I talk to our animals all the time and myself.
Well, to quote Nicholas Eppley, a professor of behavioral science at the University of Chicago, he says, historically, anthropomorphizing has been treated as a sign of childishness or stupidity, but actually a natural byproduct of the tendencies that makes humans uniquely smart on this planet. According to a study conducted in Harvard in 2011, a group of people was shown pictures of baby animals and adult animals, to which most of the subjects chose the baby animals and agreed that they would give them human names and would refer to them while using proper gender terms. Not only that, if you could own a baby pet, they would have named him and talked to him like they talk to humans. No other living being besides humans has such the ability to identify human behavior in inanimate objects. Even though naming your pet and inanimate objects are most popular way of anthropomorphizing, that's not the only one. Giving your pet's character traits like humans also comes under anthropomorphism. Calling your dog your baby or your cat a grumpy old man isn't you being weird at all. That is the intelligence talking.
Thank God.
Human brains are complicated beyond anyone's explanation. Years of research and scientific studies, yet we are still not sure what all our mind is capable of. Trying to find human characteristics in inanimate objects is a sign of your brain's creativity. And anthropomorphism not only affects humans, it also affects your pets. Studies have shown that if you keep talking to your dogs, they learn to differentiate between words and learn your gestures. These animals have been human companions for years and have evolved accordingly. When you talk to your dogs, they can understand your words and emotions situated with them.
What about cats, Wen? We have a cat.
Cats, however, don't understand your words as much as dogs do, but they do have the ability to recognize their owner's voice and commands. In fact, cats use over 16 different ways to communicate. They do hear you. They just don't care.
Yeah. Wendy, what's the bottom line here?
Okay. To summarize, talking to your pet is a very normal and natural. There's nothing wrong with you. If anything, you're smarter than those who do not talk to their pets, as their brains aren't functioning how they normally should. So the next time someone calls you a weirdo when they see you talking to your dog on the street, tell them to get their facts straight.
Dang. You know, Yogi Bear used to speak when I watched cartoons, and he's smarter than a picnic basket.
I know. But you know what? There's a lot of times when I'm talking to, like, one of the dogs or the cat in the other room, and Robert will yell, "What? What did you say?" And I'll say,
"That's because I'm going deaf."
I'm talking to Wanda, you know. And
do
that all the time. Uncle Curtis, do you talk to your cat Lucky?
Yeah, Lucky knows treat and water.
And water. Yeah. And do you, like, tell her things or talk to her at all? Or
yeah,
like,
I give her a couple tips on, you know, not to go in there. I'm going to say one thing about I got to clean your box. So you got to come out of there and this and that. But, yeah, she's she shakes her head no, but she understands, I guess.
Yeah, I think a lot of
Lucy talks to me, starts yelling at me, and I know she wants food. She gets right in my face.
Does she talk Ho-Chunk to you?
I think so. She was,
Exactly. Well, there is scientific evidence saying that people who talk to their animals are smarter than those who don't, and it's our brain's way of being creative. So I think that if you're not talking to your animal, you should start having a conversation with them.
That.
You know,
right.
It's funny, too, because when we get ready to go, and because the article was talking about how the dogs can kind of pick up on our gestures also. So it's funny because we'll get ready to go out, but But our dogs kind of know when it's time for them to come with us and go for a walk, right? Mm-hmm. Or they know and they look at our gestures and they know, mm-hmm. well, it's not time. We're not going for a walk because these two are out the door going to do their thing. And then they go and they sit in their little crate together, right?
Yep.
So they kind of know that.
It's interesting, too, that these dogs are shelter dogs and they really understand the word no. It's really weird where other dogs are like, you'd say no and they go, no what?
Yeah, Lucky's a rescue cat, and she understands that no and get down and stuff like that. You know, leave the curtain alone.
Wendy one time yelled at our dog, and I was on the commode, and she yelled, "Get down!" as loud as she could, and then I jumped off the commode, and I thought she was yelling at me. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
That's a true
that
story.
Was a very long time ago with our old dogs Mickey and Poncho, and they used to jump up on the bed every morning at like 5 o'clock and wake me up. Now, at that time, I was working 2 to 10, and I needed my rest in the morning because I was working late. So every morning, and I would tell them nicely, get down, but they wouldn't listen. So I had to increase the volume on the voice.
I know what's really great about having our pets and people having pets, too, not only intelligence, but just bringing your blood pressure down.
Right.
It's like if Wendy looks stressed, I hand her a dog.
It's true. Yeah,
Lucky knows how to comfort, too. That's good. Yeah.
I know, and Lucy has really become a really cuddly cat, and she wasn't for a long time. Yeah. This is cat talk now.
I know.
Cat hour.
Thanks for listening. I wanted to bring you that fun message.
Oh.
Yeah, we really appreciate when you talk about our sacred animals, which all animals are sacred, and we need to remember that, and Wendy brings that in. So we all remember our sacred animals. Thank you for sharing this important message. We'll be right back with Andy from MN350.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour free service.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exciting. exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
It's the eerie, it's the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by B, the Retail Shop, official Native Roots Radio swag store, 2613 Nicollet Avenue. Also, MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Pini Gigi, this week's been, I asked Wendy to brighten it up too, and Choka always brightens it up a little bit, but we're going to talk really heavy right now. And we have this past week, the Public Utilities Commission approved the certificate of need for Line 3. And we thought that it would be good to get Andy on here. But first, who is this portion brought to you by?
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350.
Right on.
A grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Babe, you might not have been listening because I already said it.
Oh, man, I was listening. Hey, Andy, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thank you so much for being on. And can you clear up to our listeners what's been going on here this past week with the Public Utilities Commission?
Sure. So, Robert, I'm having a little bit of tough time hearing you, but as long as you can still hear me, we're all good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on. So what happened over the past few days is that the Public Utilities Commission met to decide really their final decision about the Line 3 pipeline project. And what they did is pretty much what the company wanted, unfortunately. They approved the Certificate of Need, which is the official determination that the pipeline is basically a worthy project and should proceed. And they also approved a route permit. And the route permit that they approved is the one that the company wanted, which is the permit to go basically on the applicant's preferred route is what it's called, but it's that new corridor that you've seen and we've talked about mm-hmm. before on the show that goes through ceded treaty territory where there isn't a current pipeline right now. So obviously this is a really big disappointment to a lot of people. It's also pretty infuriating, and it's also illegal, as best we can tell. And the reason it's illegal is because there are certain criteria under the law that these projects need to meet to get that certificate of need approved, and this project doesn't seem to have met those criteria. In particular, the Department of Commerce, the Pollution Control Agency, the DNR, and the administrative law judge who did the whole work of developing this record have indicated that this project shouldn't be approved. The Department of Commerce recommend not approve under any circumstances. The administrative law judge said that Enbridge's plan along Enbridge's route did not meet the criteria for need, and so the PUC wouldn't be able to legally approve it. And they did anyway. So it's disappointing for a lot of us, but it also really just moves the fight into the next chapter of it. It's not at all, you know, the end of it. I'm sure we all know that folks aren't just going to go home and watch as it gets built. You know, not going to let that happen.
Right.
There are still multiple rounds of legal appeals that can happen, and those will. And I believe that there's a very good case, actually, for reversing this decision on appeal. And also, I know that that there are folks who are working to build up camps of resistance along the line. And we don't expect, even in the worst-case appeal scenario here, we don't expect construction could begin before some point later in the fall. So it's not like a this-summer kind of thing, but it is, you know, various pieces kind of coming together so that if, you know, we hope that this isn't needed. If any of that is needed, then it's in place. And we can do that in as prepared a way as possible. So that's the kind of the big overview. It was very disappointing, and the commissioners did it in a way that was not only the wrong choice, but also pretty insulting to a lot of people there.
We're here with Andy Pearson of MN350. He's a tar sands fighter, and I met Andy at Standing Rock, and I see Andy everywhere, and he's an expert at this, and I thought we'd bring in an expert. Why is the route – what is the route of the pipeline? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. So the route that was approved, the one that Enbridge wants – for some of its length, it follows the current Line 3 route kind of right next to it. That's where it enters Minnesota up in the far northwestern corner of the state. Kind of cuts south and east through the Thief River Falls area and on to basically Clearbrook, Minnesota, where Enbridge has a pumping station. Mm-hmm. In Clearbrook, the current line continues basically straight eastward out of Clearbrook, jogs around a little bit and winds up in Superior, Wisconsin. The new line that Enbridge wants for Line 3 and that the Public Utilities Commission just approved over everybody's recommendations, it actually goes south from Clearbrook down to Park Rapids area and then takes a 90-degree turn to the east and then follows east along what's at that point an entirely new corridor without any pipelines in it at all at this point. And that's through some of the richest wild rice lakes that there are, some of the most pristine waters in our state. If you were to look on a map and think, what's the worst place where we could put a pipeline? That's one of the worst places. And I got to tell you, mm-hmm. You know, regardless of route, one thing that we always think about, too, is what's the global impact? What's the climate change impact? And this pipeline, you know, has a climate change impact on the record of $287 billion in cost to society just from climate change alone. And that's only over a 30-year time span. These pipelines often operate longer than that. So it's a bit infuriating for all of us to see that, you know, the company's not promising benefits anywhere near the, you know, $287 billion. Right. So it's clear that the costs outweigh the benefits here, but the Public Utilities Commission appears to be fine putting those costs off in the future, and we're not okay with that, so we'll be continuing to fight back.
Well, Enbridge has 29 required federal, state, and local permits that they still have to get, so the battle's not over with. And one of the things, too, that I always want to bring up because people don't know this is that this, you know, they wanted a replacement line. You know, and it's not a replacement line; it's a different line, and they're keeping that pipeline in the soil as it is. So that has to be cleared. People have to know that, right, Andy?
Right. So interesting thing on the first day of deliberations, and also a couple weeks before, Enbridge made a number of promises. Mm-hmm. One of their promises was this very undefined plan to let landowners have the pipeline removed if they wanted to, but as a way to convince them to not have it removed, Enbridge would like pay them money to keep it on their land to kind of sweeten the deal there. So it's like you get a one-time offer to have it removed, and then otherwise, you know, if you don't choose to have it removed, you get paid, and the garbage stays on somebody's land. So that's not good. And then what you were saying about those permits, those 29 remaining permits, the mm-hmm. governor said that he's going to make sure that those face the highest level of scrutiny, you know, including some of the considerations that the PUC may have missed.
Oh, Peeny Geeky. We're going to be right back after a short break with Andy Pearson of MN350 and your calls at 952-946-6205. This is Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of 3 American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Daddy, Daddy, what is Solar Bear doing?
Solar Bear is putting solar panels on top of that home.
Well, why is he doing that, Daddy?
He's trying to save his home. Because of global warming, his home is melting.
Daddy, can we help Solar Bear?
Yes, we can. And so can you. Call for your free estimate, 612-669-1165. And for more information, visit SolarBearMN.com. Solar Bear is Native owned.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today has a 30% chance of rain, with highs near 87. Tonight, storms continuing, with lows around 68. Sunday will be cloudy and rainy, with highs near 81, but should clear up by Sunday night, with a low around 66. Monday, high of 86, and a low around 69. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. Offering a unique and contemporary spin on continental cuisine, Crooner's specializes in food and drink made popular in the 1920s. Check out this fabulous dining experience at 6161 Highway 65 Northeast in Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Jay Selby's, voted Best Vegan Restaurant by City Pages. Also, Mag Mechanical, providing professional, on-time, on-budget HVAC services.
Hey, we're going to be shortly back with Andy Pearson of MM350 and your calls, 952-946-6205 if you'd like to call in and ask Andy or any of us questions. But first, what we want to do is I was at the news conference for the Public Utilities Commission, and that's we have a short clip from Winona LaDuke and what she had to say after the decision was made.
Yeah, neither am I to the Paloma relatives. This is a really sad day for Minnesota. That's what this is. For 5 years, we have tried to make Minnesota make the right decision here. And this is a case where they could have done the right thing for all of us. There is no reason that they should have made that decision. We have tried everything. The fact that the Department of Commerce and the Administrative Law Judge clearly said that this pipeline should not be granted a permit nor a certificate of need. And the fact that the Public Utilities Commission, did something which is unprecedented, which is to rule against both of those decisions, is a mockery of a system. I'm someone that wants civil society to work in Minnesota. I, for 5 years, have come down to this commission. For 5 years, I've come here to protect my water, to protect my future generations, and to protect my rights. I have been joined by all of these people, and we have stood here. And we are standing on the right side of history. And we're going to continue to stand on the right side of history, because someone has to stand for the water. Someone has to stand for future generations. What they have done to us today is egregious. It is egregious what they have done not only to the Ojibwe people, but to the people of Minnesota. They have taken our Sandy Lake, which is the equivalent of the Wounded Knee Massacre of Minnesota, and said, we will lay pipe across it. And that is what we will do. And for 5 years, we have tried to make the system work, but Minnesota and Enbridge have asked us if this is going to be like Standing Rock, and they have gotten their Standing Rock. That is what they have done. The fact is that all of us will fight through every regulatory process that is available to us. We will do everything that is needed to stop this pipeline, and then we will stand. And so what I'm going to tell you is that what you know, is that we have asked people to come to Minnesota. You know, Minnesota has a welcome fisherman and welcome hunter signs throughout the north. And we have said it is time to welcome water protectors. It is time to come to Minnesota to protect the water because we value it. And so we are saying that I'm inviting you to come now to begin to learn about our beautiful water, our Anishinaabe people, our wild rice, and to stand with us because we will all need it. As the time goes ahead, you know, we will see how this will all work out. But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We're rich. Thank you.
That was Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and she spoke this past Thursday at the press conference at the PUC, Public Utilities Commission. We're back here with Andy Pearson, and I know I saw Andy down there at the Public Utilities Commission working hard and keeping us all positive. Andy, welcome back.
Thank you.
That was pretty – go ahead.
I was just going to say I love that clip of Winona. I'm glad that you played it. I think it really lays out nicely how a lot of people were feeling in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have more battles, lawsuits, and things to come about. But, I, you know, for me, Andy – I want to talk to our listening audience about really what's at stake. You know, I mean, it's crazy because we have our 45, you know, denouncing unions basically, and then we have all these union workers down there. It's the wrong battle for them. You know, Standing Rock, there was three or four people working in Standing Rock now on those pipelines, just making sure they don't leak or leak much, you know.
Right. Well, as far as that goes, you know, this is the case with any pipeline project, but of course most of the jobs come in the construction phase, you know, and there's very, very few permanent jobs. It's a number that's there've been various estimates. It's been anywhere from zero to about 22 is the highest I've heard. That, you know, long-term jobs that it would create, but of course construction jobs are by nature short-term, and you move from project to project. So, you know, the thing is that it also creates a ton of jobs, construction jobs, similar skill sets, same unions, to remove the old pipeline from the ground.
Right.
And if the company had committed to do that, which it's broadly regarded that that would have been the safest choice for Minnesota and for our water, if the company would have committed to do that, we would have seen, you know, a similar jobs boost in a lot of ways, and we wouldn't have seen a brand new tar sands oil pipeline pumping the dirtiest oil in the world across our lake country. So, you know, I think that that's a piece of the puzzle, right? It's balancing. I think it's framed oftentimes. I think you hear it talked about as balancing jobs versus environment. But it's so clear that we can have both and that it's not actually a balance. It's more of a choice about how much we want, you know, corporate power, international corporate power in this case, to come in and have their say in what we do with the lakes and rivers and land that's here in Minnesota.
Right.
Has been for thousands and thousands of years.
And we're a Coke refinery off the river, Mississippi River there. They're at full capacity. So this oil is not coming to Minnesotans or even, for that matter, Americans.
Yeah. Now, some of the oil on this line, because of how Enbridge balances their system, it's possible that some of it could come to the Coke refinery, but that would just mean oil on other lines wasn't. So you're right. It's essentially a wash. The judge and Public Utilities Commission did find pretty conclusively that the refineries are running at full capacity, don't seem to be in any kind of pinch for more oil. And the same in the Midwest broadly. You're right. We're seeing more and more of this oil go to export. and some go to other regions of this country. But you're right, they are, Enbridge is re-exporting more and more oil from the States. So I think we should expect to see that, you know, tick up with, you know, in the event that they were to get a new pipeline built, I think we would be seeing more of that oil go to export. Yeah.
Right, and that's a thing that I just, you know, our union workers, I'm in a union, you know, I'm in the teachers' union, and they need to understand that, you know, we're doing this for them, too. And, I mean, I don't mean that condescending. We literally are doing the footwork and the fighting against these pipelines for their grandchildren, and I think that's the deep thing that I wish they would understand.
You know, it's been interesting because I spent part of this past summer and fall, you know, traveling around the state and going to a lot of these public meetings and hearings and input sessions on this pipeline. And, of course, there's a number of union workers at a lot of these sessions. And I remember one particular conversation at a meeting that I attended where workers spoke out and said, you know, the types of projects that I love to build are geothermal projects for schools, you know, wind turbines, that kind of thing, because I feel like I'm doing the right thing. I'm not sure that a pipeline is going to really make me feel good, but it's going to pay the bills. And so please approve it for that reason. And that stuck in my mind in a big way because it's very much a human issue. You know, it's not just a pipeline issue. And it, in a way, you know, we got to be aware that we're not saying to people, you need to give up your income, you need to give up your life, you know, your livelihood, or your stability to do this kind of, you know, to be able to protect the land. You know, so we got to be thinking about how are we creating those opportunities for folks. It's not just a no to the pipeline. How are we investing more in these alternative energy, you know, answers, which we know we have to do anyway to solve climate change on a reasonable timeline. It's like, construction's going to happen. What are we constructing? You know, are we constructing oil infrastructure that's going to lock us into this dirty energy over the long term, or are we constructing renewable solutions? So I think, you know, as a state, as a society, we need to be looking at how are we prioritizing and investing in those solutions to make sure that there is that realistic, you know, plan there for these workers, a lot of whom don't like the pipeline either. You
right.
know? So to make really certain that those jobs are there and that they're building something that's actually good, you know, for all of us.
Well, you know, I think one of the things, and again, I want to talk to our listening audience about this that may not be totally as an expert as you or even know as much as I do. What's really, really important and what we can do is vote. And I mean, I'm kind of switching gears here, but we need to put people that are like-minded, that are – we need people – I think they said something that if all the people had voted on Obama's last election would have voted, we would be – the progressive voice would be more out there. And so we need to get people that were upset at the last election to come out and vote. We talk about Dave Hutch all the time because of Stenick being – an Indian fighter, and they're down there right now in Florida, you know, tuning up, ready for the fight up north, being trained, and, you know, there's reports of that. So we need a new sheriff. We need local politicians right now. We need people to get out and vote.
Well, and I think one thing, too, just to keep in mind for everybody, and I'm bearing in mind that Min350, you know, hasn't made any endorsements in the race, so I'm not going to be very partisan here, but we'll note that, you know, all of this, the kind of the balance hangs on the governor's seat, right? Just to be real, if we, and there are candidates in the race right now who have pledged to support Line 3, and there are candidates who have pledged to oppose Line 3 and to block its construction from happening if they're in office at the time. And so we've got to be aware that the next governor that Minnesota elects is going to be probably the most important decision that we make through the political structure about whether or not this pipeline goes forward or not over the long term, because it's not going to be constructed for the most part. Even if it all goes forward and everybody loses their appeal and Enbridge wants to begin construction, barely any of it would be built during Dayton's term. It would be built, you know, basically in the term of a future governor. And so who that governor is makes a huge amount of difference.
That's right. That's local. So, Andy, I got 45 seconds for you. I'd like you to give a shout-out to what you do, MN350, and what's next on your plate.
Oh, sure. Well, Minnesota 350, we're a grassroots climate movement organization. We've fought pipelines for a long time in Minnesota, about 5 years. The next thing, if you care about Line 3, the Governor Dayton has been more or less on our side with this, and we've really appreciated it. Over the last year, his Department of Commerce has fought alongside us. We're going to his house tomorrow, 4 o'clock, the Governor's Mansion in St. Paul. So come on out. Stand with us to thank the governor for his work and encourage him to keep it up and make sure that all the rest of this process is held to highest standards and that this pipeline does not get built. So come on out with us again, 4 o'clock tomorrow, Governor's Mansion in St. Paul. Join us there to be grateful for what he's done and ask for the next steps.
As always, thank you so much, Peeny Gigi, for being on Native Roots Radio. We support you, and we're so happy that you can give out what we'd like to talk about, real news here.
Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to come back with What Does My Elder Think?
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350, building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, forced assimilation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Solar Bear, solar power for Minnesota. Also, Ho-Chunk Nation, the people of the sacred voice.
Yes, and the big voice, too. We have a big voice. Hey, you know, I want to thank Choka for being here. And, you know, this is our favorite section. What does my elder think? And welcome and tell us who you are.
Aho, Pinagigichuske. My name is Moshke Hanazinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized name, I guess, is Curtis West. And I want to say hi to my baby girl, as usual, and stuff like that. And you know, I want to say hi to all my family and friends and relatives in Four Directions. I pray all is well. And like my Chuske was saying earlier, you know, it's a deep subject that we were on with this this dangerous pipeline. So, you know, I'm going to try to lighten it up a little bit, but seriously, water is life, and you know, no line three, and I'm going to get started with them. You know, with you know, I get some shout outs, some birthdays, some messages, and things like that. So, I'd like to start off with some birthdays to our relatives and friends out there and listening audience. And so, first one is up there in God's country is Andrea McKee. I want to say happy birthday. And Donnie Luna, they call him the mayor down on the west side, but he's a good friend of mine. And there's one that listens regularly, too. We're going to say happy birthday, Josh Voss. You know,
cool.
He's out there at that roadside assistance gig he's got going out there. But happy birthday, Josh. Another friend that wants to drive us around in a limo here for our staff here at Native Roots is Tim Everett, so we can't forget about him. So he's going to scoot us around one of these days. And another one we're going to send all the way to New York. We're going to say happy birthday. It's coming up on the 5th of July is Cindy Burtis. And I
Finkelstein.
But I want to give her a shout-out all the way to New York. And another one here.
That's my sister.
Yeah, Wendy. I have a feeling that was, you know. And, another one we want to say happy birthday to is a Native sister of ours up here is Lydia Tipton here in the Twin Cities. And another one that it's a belated from us here. Me and my Chuske went over to her birthday dinner and birthday cake, and her name is Haley Greencrow. And Chuske got some nice, you know, it was really good pictures over there, and it was nice.
And the good potato salad, too.
And I wasn't going to bring that up. There's a story, but that's for later episodes, man. But
that's for the XM radio version, not the AM version.
Ha-ho. And then, you know, there's a lot of people a little bit older than me, so I got to always honor the elders out there. And so we're going to say Layla Cameron and Lawrence, you know, Lawrence Kingwood. And Patricia White, Vera Hodges, and I want to give some shout-outs, too. You know, the first thing I want to say is I wish everybody a happy and safe 4th of July, you know.
Yes.
You know, it's, you know, be safe on the roads and you know, if you're blowing up fireworks, you know. And the one that's special that comes to my heart, you know, they're real special peoples here. I want to say happy anniversary to Robert and Wendy Pilot. You know, they're I've known them for a couple years now, and I want to say happy anniversary.
I overkicked my coverage. Wendy is a dynamite person and a dynamite person.
Oh, dynamite.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And then like I said, this is a heartfelt, too. We want to say a pinagigi out there to all our sponsors and all our listeners out there. You know, we really appreciate it, that the support we get from you all out there. One I can never forget either is NH. I always got to say hello to James Cross. You know, the brother is... you know, he's just, like I said, shout out James. And the other ones, this one is heartfelt also. It's for all the water protectors, you know, not just in Minnesota, but around the nation. You know, we all know, and we all should know that water is life, you know. And like I said, we got some events coming up, too. I want to let you know that I got a shout out this morning. There's no advanced and no beginning language classes for the Ho-Chunk this week. And stay tuned. You know, they're taking a break off there for the 4th of July weekend and stuff like that. And just stay tuned. And again, there's no women's self-defense class this weekend either. So call Stephanie Yellowbank at the office. And the other one that a big one's coming up on July 7th, it starts at 6 a.m. It's the Dennis Banks Memorial Walk 2018. That's going to be up in Leech Lake. And it's going to be at the they're going to start over at the Battle Point Community Center. That's a 10051 Battle Point Trail. It's in Federal Dam, Minnesota. And, you know, it's going to be marking marking the 40th anniversary of the longest walks, you know, and their topic and what believe what we all believe in is all our life is sacred, you know. So that's coming up on that day, you know. So the other one that's coming up on July 7th, that's the next Saturday. My Chushke is going to be having a special guest on our radio show, Richard Painter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Richard's going to be on, and also Choka, we did a tape interview of Tommy Orange of there, and what a great guy, a new hip happening native young author that.
Real awesome, a real humble humble young man, you know.
Yes, yes, and he helped us with the audio. I have one other thing to bring up. We tape the show. We're live right now, but we also syndicate the show, I should say. And right now in Minneapolis, they're having a gathering of families belong together march down protesting the administration immigration policies. And that's happening in 600 other places in the United States. And we have to mention that, too.
Right. There's another one, too, that I'd like to mention, too, Chushke, that Rob Rez, the reporter Fairbanks, is going on today at the Franklin Avenue Library. And they're going to have another thing going on tonight, too. They call it the final performance live on Franklin. And they're talking about actors, performers, and they're going to honor all the working participants in that. And the other thing I'd like to give a shout-out real quick to is my Nani Betty. You know, our prayer warriors out there for Betty Greencrow. We'd like to have prayers for her. And last but not least, you know, I've been hearing stories, and I'd like our warriors, too, our prayer warriors, come out there and pray for our brother Leonard Peltier. You know, it's a... We're praying for his freedom.
Mm-hmm. The longest prisoner in the what is the definition? The longest.
He's a political prisoner.
Thank you.
He's a political prisoner, and it's unnecessary. And we pray for his freedom.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Dega. Do you have a Gaga for us this week?
Yeah, I hope it fits the spot. You know, the Gaga, to everybody that don't know Gaga, that's my grandmother, you know, and she told me this one time. She said, it's the way the Creator touches your heart that gives life a beautiful meaning.
Wow, oh, that's a really nice one.
That is good.
I like that one a lot.
Yes. So, you know, I want to end this show with... The grounds on which we stand are sacred. It is the blood of our ancestors. That's Freedom Chief Plenty Coops Crow. Resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. I am awake. The revolution is kicking into high gear. I would like to thank all our listening audience and Pini Gigi to guest Andy Pearson of MN350, always my beautiful wife, happy anniversary, Wendy Pilot, and my uncle, Uncle Curtis. And, you know, we're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Thanks to Eric Nelson, super engineer.
Yes. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.